Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi, good evening, and welcome to the show. Obviously, it's Penny. It's good to be back again. I've been obviously through the virus and therefore was self-isolating and not particularly well for the last couple of weeks. So again, I wanted to thank Adam for stepping in. You know, he's an absolute star for doing that and helping and supporting Matthew. So just going to hand over to Matthew so he can say good evening.
Hello, everybody. Hope you're well. Interesting time. So, really looking forward to doing this show. Also wanting to thank Adam as well for co-hosting. It was really, really good to have someone step in and have a different point of view as well. It's really good to sort of mix things up. So, really glad to have Penny back and really, really excited about the show. So,
yeah, I just wanted to, I don't know how many of you guys have seen the beautiful message from Bill Gates around what he thinks the coronavirus is actually really teaching us. And just wanted to bring some of his wisdom into this as well. But he pretty much wrote a 14-point message to the world, and I was just nodding my head and just going, too right, this is just so right. Also, obviously, we have our own take on it and our own thoughts to add to it, but basically he starts off with saying, you know, he's a great believer there is a spiritual purpose behind the virus. And, you know, whether we perceive it as good or bad, and having meditated on it here, he came up with various points. And the first one I thought was very salient. He just basically said, you know, it is reminding us that we are all equal, regardless of religion, culture, occupation, financial situation, or how famous we are. This disease treats us all equally. Perhaps we should do the same. And he goes on and basically says, you know, his quip here is, if you don't believe it, just ask Tom Hanks. So, because obviously Tom Hanks has been through it too. And then he goes on to say, it's reminding us that we are all connected, and something that affects one person has an effect on another. It is reminding us that false borders that we have put up have little value, as the virus does not need a passport. It is reminding us by oppressing us for a short time. For those of the world, those with a whole life is spent in oppression. So, you know, again, it's really interesting that he has these points. And it's really important that we realise that, you know, false borders should not affect us. You know, it again, in the States, obviously, you have many different states. In Europe, we have many different countries. But we are all one. And we need to be understanding of each other and each other's cultures. And, you know, it's calling us right here, right now. This virus is calling us to step up to the plate, waken up, realize we're not the only person on the planet. That, you know, one of the things that Matthew says is that we are, get out of the me mentality and get into the we mentality. You know, we've all seen behaviours, not just in the United States, but, you know, in the UK and all over Europe, where, you know, people, you know, do not like uncertainty, and it brings out the most astonishing behaviours. You know, some of us are behaving like two-year-olds, having pissy fits of, I want, give me. No, that doesn't mean me. And others have heeded the call and stepped up to the plate and are behaving like heroes. And they are the light and beacon for us in this new world. And you just look at it and just go, you know, come on, guys, wake up to the fact that we haven't been doing very well as a species. We've made our home sick. You know, we are now brought in a pandemic. You know, what are we not getting here? You know, that we are huge, magnificent, amazing spiritual beings on Earth to have a physical experience. You know, our home is spirit, not in the physical. And we need to learn, grow and play and experience. You know, as a species, we've lost our way and forgotten who we truly are. And this virus is just an opportunity to wake up to our true natures and allows us to step up. We need to auto-correct or reboot to who we truly are. So that's my thoughts at the moment, and we'll go on and obviously discuss this more. But again, I just wanted Matthew to have his chance to put his two pennies worth in.
Yeah, thanks, Penny. I really love the way that he put that, because I think it's I was talking to one of my clients earlier. She's a nurse, and she was saying it's when she started doing work with myself and Penny on the spiritual side, it was she would speak to people and almost like people would treat her like she was crazy. And what she's discovered just in the last sort of week or so in clarity is realizing that actually she's one of the sane ones. And actually it's everybody else that's crazy. And it really touched me, because it was just like, yes, because people who get the spiritual side of it really actually not relax at these times, but it's kind of... We find it easier because you know there's a bigger plan. I mean, every time you sort of think, oh, I've got a plan, you've just got to laugh at yourself, because the universe has a bigger plan. And we can gnash our teeth and not like something, but ultimately it's about going with what you're faced with. And very much I love that he makes that everybody is equal, because it's one thing that does split us apart. We've, as a human race, we've got very much lost in our own sort of ego of all wanting to go and sort of be bigger and faster and sort of create the technology. I mean, a lot of the technology is great. We're using it, some of it now. So of course it's real useful, but we've lost the soul really of what we are. We're so separated on so many different levels, and just the disease has shown me that in the first thing people go into is the poor me and the selfishness. And it's, you had some people in England that we were told to not go into group situations and obviously be careful, and you've got sort of people lying on the beach a meter away from each other. And Snowdonia in Wales, I think it was in Wales, had one of the busiest days it's had in 140 years, a week into the coronavirus. And you think, what are people thinking? They're literally not seeing past themselves. And there's so much of this going on. And what keeps coming up is this is an opportunity for us to learn. And for the people that see this behaviour and don't like it, it's not about getting angry about it, but it's having the passion and the grace to not put up with it anymore and sort of make the change and say, you know, that behaviour has done what it's done until now, but actually it's not good enough anymore.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, it's so important, you know, that it's reminding us how precious our health is and how we have basically, as a species, moved to neglect it through eating poor nutritional manufactured food, drinking, you know, water that's contaminated with chemical upon chemicals. And if we don't look after our health, we will, of course, get sick. And, you know, it's reminding us of, you know, the shortness of life, of what is the most important thing for us to do, which is to help each other, you know, especially the old and the sick. You know, our purpose is not to buy toilet paper. It reminds us that our materialistic society has become and how it is at times difficult to remember the essentials that we need, food and water, medicine, opposed to the luxuries that we unnecessarily give value to, you know, like fast cars, this, that and the other. You know, it reminds us that it's important our families, of our families and our home life, and how much we have neglected this. It's forcing us back into our houses so we can rebuild them into homes and strengthen the family unit. Mm. You know, again, you know, I know Matthew shared with us before, is, you know, when you ask somebody, you know, a parent, you know, well, how are you doing with your kids? And they say, oh, yeah, I die for my kids. Well, let's not die for our kids. Let's live for them. Let's protect them. Let's teach them, you know, as we learn and teach ourselves. You know, it's reminding us that true work is not your job. You know, it's what we're created to do. What's your inner passion? Our true work is to look after each other, to protect each other and be benefit of each other, to each other. You know, be part of the community. Reach out to people. Talk to people. Talk to strangers. They're great. They're really entertaining. You know, it's there. You know, it's to remind us to get our egos in check. It's, you know, reminding us not, you know, that our egos really don't matter. And what we think actually really doesn't matter. You know, the virus has brought this world to a standstill. It has given us time to reflect and look at our inner workings and inner selves. And it's really important to realise that, you know, we need to go within or we'll go without. We need to reflect. We need to really look at our demons and, you know, take, you know, the responsibility to transmute them so that we can transmute the world.
Yeah.
It's reminding us that, you know, the power of free will is in our hands. We can choose to cooperate and help each other, to share, to give, to help, to support each other. Or we can choose to be selfish, to hoard, or to look after number one. You know, indeed, it is these difficulties that bring out our true colours.
Absolutely.
It's really important to realise that as a species, you know, as I said before, we haven't been doing too well. You know, this is drawing the line in the sand, and the virus is helping us do that so that we can each reflect. You know, it's reminding us that we can be patient or we can panic. We can either understand the type of situation has happened many, many times before in history and will pass, or we can panic and see it as the end of the world and cause all sorts of different consequences for ourselves or harm the good. It's reminding us that we can either have a new beginning or we can go back to the old ways, which we have shown, which we're being shown does not work. We can reflect and understand. We can learn from our mistakes, or we can start a new cycle and continue, and we will go down the rabbit hole. It's reminding us that the earth is sick. You know, when we see the pollution has dropped dramatically since, you know, the flights have been curtailed. You know, obviously there's still flights, but, you know, not probably about 10% of what we've been doing in the past. You know, so we're not dumping out jet fuel. We're not, you know, again, you know, the pollution around London has dropped dramatically. We've seen in Venice that, you know, the canals have cleared and they can see the fish. Yeah. You know, we urgently need to look at the speed which we're taking action and actually, you know, realizing that we are sick because our home is sick.
Yeah.
It's reminding us that every difficulty, there is equally ease. Life is cyclical. There are phases and great cycles. We do not need to panic. This will pass. But, you know, instead of seeing this as a disaster, we should see it as the great corrector and a chance to change our behaviour. So, again, you know, as my wont, I've been ranting again, so I'm going to hand it over to
Matthew. Yeah, no, thank you. I think what came up for me, or what's been paramount for me, is wanting to talk about the ego, because I think when people talk about ego, there's a lot of misunderstanding, and it's very much what I feel is really stopping man or us globally moving forwards. And I've heard lots of people explain sort of that you need to get rid of your ego or divorce your ego and things like that. And that's just not true. There's many parts to self, and the last thing you want to do is divorce any of them. You need to love them, get to know them, and learn how to work together. And when we talk about ego, ego is the part of self which we all have. It's there to keep us safe. But what's happened over time is we've got a little bit too big for our boots. We forget that we are ultimately we're spirit having an experience in a human body, but we're just a type of animal. We are human. We're that element, but we've created things that are way beyond what we thought we could create. So therefore, we almost see ourselves as some sort of God. We all have wants and needs and think we're more important than other people. And you think if you have a bigger house or a flasher car or more money that actually you're more deserving or something special. And this is what this virus is teaching us, that it doesn't matter whether you've got £1 million in the bank or you've got £1 in the bank. When it comes down to it, it's who you are and what you can be that really matters, and how you sort of react in these situations. So I love the way that there's only the best way to explain how to train your ego and what ego really is how Penny explained it to me. And that is that ego's got a little bit out of control, and it's not about disliking the ego or hating the ego because you realize some of your behaviors haven't been particularly great, because that's what we're talking about when we talk about ego. It's the behaviors that aren't healthy. That's the me first and I want. So we're just about to go into break, so I'll save that story for after the break.
Good one.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has pre-diabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has pre-diabetes, with early diagnosis, pre-diabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Okay, so we're back, and I just wanted to say something before Matthew carries on with his story. And sure. This is just something I wrote the other way, a Canva post up, but I put off written, and it's, you know, love doesn't ask why, it digs deep and puts itself last, making sure that everyone else gets what they authentically need. So, Matthew, take it away.
Lovely. Yeah, so I was talking about ego, and saying that the best way to see ego is like a little puppy, and that puppy is delightful and cute and lovely, but it can also have some behaviours that are not healthy. So it'll pee on the carpet, and it'll eat the sofa, and it'll chew on the chair legs and do all sorts of sort of behaviours. Because it doesn't quite understand what behaviours are, and that's where our egos have got carried away. We haven't realised just how out of kilter they are. So how do you train a puppy? You don't shout at it, you don't get angry, and you certainly don't drop kick it out the French doors. You train it with love and grace and repetition, and through that training, that puppy its behaviours will change, and it will realise that there's healthy ways of doing things and unhealthy ways of doing things. And Penny, we're going to say that if you then take that puppy to further training, it could go in and sort of train as like a drugs dog or a police dog, something that can go into service. If you give that dog even further training, it can go into an even greater service, like serving the blind. And guide dogs get to go to places that no other dogs get to go to. And that's when their nature changes and they go from a DOG to a GOD. And it's exactly the same with the world we live in. When you do the ego training and you work on your own stuff, you're able to then help others work on theirs. And that's the gift. And I think that's globally what we really need to do at the moment, because I've seen so many people fighting and everybody's making everybody wrong. And I know I mentioned it on the last show that it's kind of like we need to grow up and we need to stop fighting and make everybody wrong just because we have a different opinion. We need to come together and start doing things differently. And stop thinking about ourselves. And I am talking about myself here as well. It's not just saying to other people, you need to do this, you need to do that. We all need to grow up. We all need to find a different way of doing it. And ego training was one of the greatest sort of trainings I've done, as single small trainings. And because it completely changes your life. And it's not about beating yourself up and going, oh, I've done some really bad behaviours and I'm such a bad person. It's about going, you know what, some of the stuff I've done and the way I've been acting has not been healthy and I've not helped the global situation. However, I'll make the change and flip it to passion and make the change. And if everybody does what they can, we've said on previous shows, if we all shared money, everybody would be rich. Everybody would be an instant millionaire. If we all shared the food, no one would be hungry. Another thing with ego that comes up, it's people that go straight into poor me. The amount of posts that I've seen around social media where you've got a self-employed person saying that they've got it worse than an employed person because at least they can work from home and this, that and the other. And the government are doing as much as they can to help everybody out. And I mean, everybody's got it a little bit tough right here, right now. It is what it is. But tearing someone else apart because you see their situation as different is not the way to go. And what really brought it home for me is it's kind of like it doesn't matter how bad it is and how tough you're finding it being at home. It's kind of like there's many, many, many children across the world where school was their safe place. It was the place where they didn't get abused and they didn't get hit and punched and all manner of things. Think about them. And that's what I've been doing, thinking of people that actually are less fortunate than myself, because it helps bring reality in and think, you know what, I'm better off than a lot of people, so therefore I'm going to put a lot in. So we're signing up for the NHS volunteering service where you can deliver medicines, food, you can go on a chat line, but it helps you see through the madness that's going on and gain clarity and going, you know what, it doesn't matter how bad it is, it could always be worse. So I'm going to flip it round and do everything I possibly can to make everything positive. And rubs off on someone, great.
Yeah, no, I was sorry. Thinking about, taking steps to auto-correct, you know, a reboot to who we truly are. You know, however, that reboot to who we truly are will not take place unless we embrace the truth, which is we don't know who we truly are.
No.
And we need to commit to finding out the truth. You know, if we don't go within and do the inner work that's needed right here, right now, there's no chance to reprogram the behaviours, you know, which have led us to this point in history. It's really, I couldn't underline this, but this, you know, I get really passionate about this. This time is an awakening. And an awakening is exactly what it says on the tin. It's waking up to ourselves and who we truly are, but also waking up that, you know, the human species is a custodian for the earth and we're killing it. And, you know, and sometimes people, you know, and I get a bit uptight about the Love and Light Brigade or the fluffy bunnies, because they're all, oh, yeah, the angels will sort it. You know, this will happen and that will happen. Well, you know, maybe I'm coming down quite strong right here, right now. But that don't cut it.
No, I totally
agree. Each of us has to take personal responsibility right here. Right now.
Yep.
Or we're in dire shit. Excuse my French. Oh, that is, of course, French.
That's when the angels come in, when you're putting the effort in.
Yeah, it's called the reaping.
Yeah.
Sorry. But, you know, it's really, really, again, as, you know, maybe I'm putting myself out there as a little bit of an expert, spiritual expert. But it's for God's sake, you know, wake up, smell the roses, you know, it's really important right here, right now, go globally. And we need to learn to, you know, understand all parts of self, what makes us tick, you know, what makes us tick spiritually, you know, have we an understanding what a spiritual being is? Do we understand the emotions and how we are emotionally and how that affects us? You know, what about our mental health? What about our physical health? You know, it's not woo-woo. This is hard scientific facts. Yes, it's quantum physics, but we need to take heed. You know, and if you don't understand quantum physics, maybe Googling it would be good.
Yep.
You know, we need to get to know, and we did quite a few programs on spiritual law. They are the roadmap, you know, to prepare for being in the new world. We need to exercise the muscle of moral courage, high integrity, respect for the planet. Again, you know, Matthew's also just covered this point, but we need to train the ego to be in service to our higher selves and potential.
Mm.
You know? And someone asked me, I was doing a community call the other day. They asked me, well, how do we do that, Penny? And I said, well, give ego a job. You know, it may be making a shopping list. It may be, what are you having for dinner? You know, what do you need to organise around the house? Because we're all housebound right now. You know, what is it that we need? You know, give ego a job. It will be distracted by those jobs. And that will allow you to be in contact with your soul and your higher self. It's one of those things, obviously, I get people to do, and we do loads of different stuff around that, well, you know, and training around Acorn to Oak. But it's also a great time to review those values, those beliefs, and upgrade them if they need, if necessary. You know, be in a community of like-minded people with an impeccable leader or mentor. You know, develop a good relationship with the divine, universe, God, whatever fits your frame of reference. Start talking to him. It, you know, the force. Yeah, I'll do the Star Wars. I'm one with the force and the force is one with me. You know, what are they talking about? They're talking about the divine. You know, have you got a good relationship with the divine? Do you know what you think about the divine? What's your experience? You know, and go out there and ask the universe, can I have an experience of the divine, please? Because, you know, it's a great time to ask the universe to help you upgrade what you're doing right here, right now. And that's all, you know, the divine is asking. It's not our show. We cannot control it. And that's what makes, you know, most people uncertain. And that's what brings in the hurry, worry mentality is, you know, there is no certainty now. OK, we have no idea where this is going to take us or how it's going to end, because it's not our show.
No.
It's the divine show.
Yeah. You know?
And who do you think sent this virus for us to wake up? The divine did. And therefore, we need to sit up, you know, and listen and, you know, open our ears and actually start getting, you know, divine guidance. And there are, you know, there's plenty of people on the planet who have a good connection with the divine, you know, and it is following their lead. And these are, you know, some of the heroes and some of the people who are beacons right here, right now on this planet. And, you know, it's, I hate to say this because, you know, I'm not very generous with the Love and Light Brigade, but maybe they've got a point. You know, we need to think about love and light a little bit. And actually, however, that doesn't mean that we can distract from our own inner work, because, you know, what is within us is what is being projected out, and that's the reality we are facing right here, right now. So, you know, it's like the English, you know, when it comes to the summertime, we all think, oh my God, I hope it doesn't rain. And as soon as we start thinking about rain, what does it do?
Yep.
and we have a miserable summer. But there you go. That's the British for you. We're obsessed with the weather. So, yeah. You know, what we focus on is, you know, where energy flows, you know, where energy is sent to, that's where it flows. Okay? And it's really important to not look at the doom and gloom, you know, to use some of the tools that, you know, obviously I talk about at Acorn to Oak, you know, is looking what you, how you get up in the morning. Are you already in hurry worry? If you are already in hurry worry, you need to pattern interrupt. You need to do something that's going to get you out of that mindset. And whether that's 5 minutes of meditation, whether that's sending someone a joke on a WhatsApp or on the internet, whether that's reaching out to somebody and telling them that you love them, and is there anything you can do for them that day? You know, it's really important that we start using our, you know, in England we talk about our homes being our castles, but it's, you know, it's really important that we take responsibility for that castle and what's playing there. What is the mood in there? Do you need to put on some soothing music? Do you need, your music is a brilliant pattern interrupt.
Mm.
Or something that's energizing that you can dance around the kitchen to. You know, can you start learn to meditate? Can you start, you know, we do different things called healing sounds and grounding and protection. So do you need to be part of a community that has a morning routine so you can learn it and get yourself in the right frame of mind to face the rest of the day, whether you're going out or you're not? You know, and obviously we're only going out to get food and medical prescriptions and, you know, all that type of thing right here, right now. But I was standing in a queue to go and get my prescription. And actually, yes, I was 2 meters away from the person, you know, we were within the rules of social distancing. But I was chatting to people and talking to people and asking how they were. And, you know, a great friend of mine who is a fantastic medium, George Gray, and he sits outside his front door and he's got a front garden, which is probably about 6 meters, and then a gate. So people stop at his gate and he talks to them. He doesn't move. He's sitting down next to, you know, and he doesn't go up and shake their hand or anything. But he's chatting to people. And he basically said over the last 4 days, he's probably got a better tan than he's ever had in his life because he's been sitting out in the sunshine. And, you know, you just look at it and go, OK, so what can I do? What can I do to help? But also remember that helping yourself is the most important thing right here, right now. So it's your inner world. It's your inner landscape. Because as you change your inner landscape, then we can change the outer one. So handing back to Matthew again.
Yeah, I love that story. Oh, brilliant.
Break.
Saved by the bell. So I'll start after the break then.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
So, Matthew, you're up.
Hi, welcome back. Yeah, what really comes across is this really is a lesson. You know, we could have found a cure pretty quick. We're so advanced, which is in very many ways a good thing, but has slightly been our downfall. If this wasn't a lesson, we could have fixed this and it wouldn't have been such a big issue. And you really need to sort of look at our behaviours is what really comes up. And it's real easy to love people that have got good behaviours. It's what people are finding real difficult is liking anybody that's got sort of a different opinion or a behaviour that they don't like. And it's learning how we can actually come together on this and it be a positive. And when I was thinking about the show, it was kind of what I wanted to get across about behaviours is some of my behaviours in the past have been absolutely outrageous, and not making excuses for them because I was fully responsible. But we all do certain behaviours based on experiences and sort of traumas and pain that we've felt in the past. So if we've been mistreated in certain ways, you find you mistreat people in those ways yourself. It's almost like a twisted mentality, but some of the behaviors we've experienced ourselves and we don't like, we go on to do to others. It can be a pattern. So it's learning to love the people that are hardest to love. So when you see someone doing an outrageous behaviour, don't think, give a disliking thought to it. Ask yourself a question. How much pain would you have to be in to do that behaviour? Because I found when I asked myself that question, it helped me to be a lot more empathetic with people and realising that we're not all the same and we've all been through various different things. Like, none of us have had the perfect life here. I don't think there's any recipe for the perfect life, unless you were born into somewhere like the SRF, which is a self-realization fellowship. They have a school, the School of Life, which is how to learn how to be truly happy around what truly counts, which is connection. And most of the world is so disconnected right here, right now, that we needed a lesson like this, because otherwise people just wouldn't learn what's truly important. It's all the time you're in the rat race, you can't step back and see what you're doing. And as a globally, we're realizing we're doing stuff seriously wrong here. People, we're spending our lives working. One thing that came up for me was the government over here keep increasing the time in which people can retire. So I think for men at the moment it's 65, I believe. And they were saying that men over, I think it was men over 60, were vulnerable. So if they're vulnerable, why the hell are we making them work another 5 years? And it's little things like that that makes you think, well, you can't say one thing when you're doing another. And it's exactly what we're doing at the moment. It's like we're working people to the bone and then making them work another 5 years when actually they're vulnerable and they've worked long enough and actually they deserve some peace and quiet. So it's that whole, we've got so lost in ourselves. And again, I say it's not about beating ourselves up and getting on the negative, but it's about realizing just how much we've mucked up. And how, if we keep going the way that we're doing, nothing will change. We're just going to create more generations like ourselves that haven't had the greatest lives and have experienced some really negative things because of the way people are with each other. So yeah, when you see other people and you see people doing crazy behavior, I know it's real difficult at the moment when you see people walking out of supermarkets with trolleys of toilet roll and pasta to have any sympathy. But let me tell you this, they'll get bored when they, you know, we're going to get the food now that they haven't brought, and they're going to be stuck with toilet rolls and pasta. And it's just going, well, how much pain and how much worry and how much anxiety do they have to be in to be doing that kind of behavior? And yes, it's selfish, but they just don't know any better. And that's when you see ego very clearly, is they just don't know any better and they can't see through their behaviors. I couldn't see through mine until Penny pointed them out. And it's kind of like, and then you step back and go, oh my God, yeah, that's really unhealthy. And that's what we need to do. We've got an opportunity to turn this hell that we're living in back into a heaven. I saw a beautiful photo in the paper the other day. I know Penny mentioned earlier, there were dolphins in the rivers, in cities. I mean, how incredible is that? We fly to the Caribbean to swim with dolphins, and they're in our own rivers. And if we just stop polluting everything and thinking about ourselves, we could be living in a heaven on earth.
Yeah.
It could be engaging with these people. When we're isolated, we're more connected. You talk to more people. It's kind of like, how twisted is that? But it's just, it's going, okay, right, okay, we've mucked up. This is where we need to change. We're being shown very clearly where we need to make those changes.
And it's about having, you know, sending our governments the positive energy so that they have the moral courage to lead us.
Yeah.
They have the moral courage to say, you know, what we've been doing in the past just hasn't worked. Let's sit down as a global community and actually start to change some of this.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't that be a great day? A great day. And it just reminded me, as Matthew was talking, about a great story of Paramahansa Yogananda, who, you know, obviously was the great spiritual yogi and guru. And he was talking to one of his devotees who was basically talking about, well, this is going on and that's going on and I'm keeping myself pure and I'm doing so well. There's nothing worse than a spiritual snob, by the way. And Yogananda is just standing there and he's nodding and he's looking at it. And he was saying, But you know, I'm really upset about X, Y, and Z. And as the devotee moved across, Yogananda turned to one of his other devotees, one of the other monks, and turned around and says, "Where on earth does he think he is now? But hell." And you know, you look at that and just go, yeah, you know, life. This life on earth can be heaven or it can be hell, you know. It's really encouraging most of us and the greater percentage of the planet to choose to live in heaven rather than hell. You know, we have free choice. There are always going to be people who choose to live in hell. And I have huge compassion and empathy for them. But that's not my choice. No. My choice is to go for heaven each time. And, you know, if nothing but this radio show, you know, we've encouraged you to choose that. You know, there are plenty of groups and all sorts of things going online which can help and support you at this time. One of them being Acorn to Oak. Runs a community call on Monday evenings for anybody and everybody to get in touch with us and talk about their emotions and some of the stresses that are going on. But there are huge amounts of groups. If you Google it and you're looking for some help and support, people who will listen, actively listen to you. You know, one of the things that I've chosen to do is volunteer for the chat line with the NHS, because right here, right now, one of the parts of me that I suppose has a little bit of frustration is I'm only 7 weeks post cardiac surgery, so I cannot volunteer to go back as a nurse. They've told me they don't want me. So, which is probably a good thing. So what else could I do? You know, if I can't go in and help in hospitals, what else can I do? And, you know, as Matthew and you guys will probably contest to, I can talk. So a chat line will probably suit me down the line. So it is just looking at what you can do. And, you know, Matthew, before he started the show, shared with Chris and I that he'd just been outside because they were having a clapping party in his area to encourage the national health, which is, again, fantastic. Put your energy to something that's so positive. And, you know, there's also, as I said, all sorts of different things that you can volunteer for, you know, get online. One of the things I put a post up every morning to encourage people to, you know, do your daily practice. Make sure that you meditate for 5 minutes. You know, what are you, five things, tell me five things that you're grateful for. You know, contact five different people to tell them that you love them. Or listen to them, or actively listen to them. You know, it's little things, because most of the time, most of us think, well, what can I do? What difference can I make? So just hand it back to Matthew so he can finish off with his thoughts on this.
Yeah, talking about the clapping, it was something I saw on social media that people were going to go outside, and if you're ill, then obviously you just do it out the window, but it's walk out your front door and just clap for a minute, just to appreciate all the NHS staff and all the emergency services that are going above and beyond for everybody at the moment. I mean, there's nurses that are having to leave their own families because they're vulnerable and don't want to make their families vulnerable. So not only are they dealing with a very, very difficult job right here, right now, but they're having to deal with huge shifts within their social structure as well, by having to leave their own children because they don't want to pass it on to their families. So talk about being isolated. Well, the most isolated ones are the nurses. And it was just showing thanks to them. So anyone in America, I'm going to throw this challenge out there. If it's something you've done or you do it regularly, let us know. If not, start something up. It only takes one person on Facebook to set a challenge, and before you know it, everybody's doing it. So I don't know whether it started in the UK or whether we've just nicked it off of somebody else and they did it last week, but let's try and get something like this going globally. Like, let's once a week at the same time all get out there, even when the coronavirus ends. Let's get out there and still keep that sort of celebration going and those thanks. So even if only one listener tonight can do that for me, please do. Let's try and make something happen, because by doing something like that, it will make people realise that actually it starts with an intention, and with a little bit of action, actually we can get things global and viral and actually really make an impact and a change.
It was really interesting in the UK with different restaurants and things closing, and then suddenly McDonald's said, right, we're closing the restaurants and that's it. And from that minute onwards, then Costa closed, Starbucks closed, and they were the leaders of the pack. So remember to be a leader of the pack and actually, you know, lead by example. And God bless you. Keep safe and healthy. And we'll be here next week. Okay, take care now.